We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell sitting in the driver's seat this morning. Beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is my spirit dad, Pastor D-Light Dwight Shepherd. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Blessed to be here. Amen. How about that?
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can post it in the comments, or you can send it to us via Facebook through Messenger. We will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you. About halfway through the program, we do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City. Pastors Chasten Music and Brooklyn Music. Yeah, Chasten and Brooklyn Music. We are better together.
Amen.
Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're tuned in. Even if it's later, we do get notifications. I think I covered it all.
I think you did.
Would you please pray to start us out? Yeah.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're so thankful to you. We're thankful for another day. And as David wrote in the Psalms, and you inspired him to do it, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We willfully choose to respond to your drawing. We want you to have your way today. We want to have hearts that are inclined to do your will, and ears that hear, and eyes that see. And Father, we just would ask that you would bless, Lord God, this program. Lead us wherever you want us to go. You know what's in my heart as I studied your word this morning, sought you in prayer. And Father, we just want you to have your way. We ask that your anointing, Lord God, would come through this program, for we know that it is your anointing that destroys the yoke and removes the burden off of people. Father, this is a time, Lord God, that we just entrust ourselves to you. And say, once again, have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I like the title, Just
you
Rest.
Just Rest. We could have said, Just Rest, baby. You know, whatever, though. Oh, the owner of the Los Angeles Raiders football team used to have a motto. He'd say, Just Win, baby. You know, so what he was saying was, that's our priority. That is our priority. If I were to come to you today and say, what's on your agenda? What's your priority today? A priority is something that happens whether anything else does or not. In other words, it's the thing that is going to happen today. I don't know about you, but I make a lot of plans that don't come to pass. I have these goals, these ideas, these wants, these, you know, and I can think, hey, on Tuesday, I'm going to do this, on Wednesday, Thursday, you know, whatever. And it rarely ever works out the way I think it's going to. And so life can begin to pull at you and tug at you, and especially this time of the year. I don't know what there is about even at Thanksgiving, but starting at Thanksgiving and going into the Christmas season, the holidays, I think sometimes we just take too much upon ourselves. Maybe we get too busy with activities. We put perceived ideas, expectations upon ourselves that other people don't even have for us, but we think they need this out of us. There's a lot going on right now. I mean, honestly, especially before school got out for Christmas break, man, the kids have so many activities, adult activities. There's Christmas thing to go to here, there, whatever. You're thinking about what you're going to do, who you want to get together with. And listen, I don't know of a single family that is not that doesn't have things that they just hope and wish and pray that are different. You know, we want it to be different. And there's sometimes as you come into holidays, you start getting all sentimental and you start having regrets about some things. You start wishing some things were this way or that way or the other way. We can start missing people. It can get to be a heavy thing. And then you put on there the expectation, well, I need to buy the present for this one, that one, the other one. I need to do this for them and please them and do that and do that. And, man, it can get to you. And, you know, Monica knows this. The Lord put it in my heart at church that every Sunday this month, I've ministered out of the narratives from the Gospels of the birth of Jesus. This morning I figured, well, we'll probably do some of that. But I felt like the Lord's like, no, I don't want you to go there. Here's where I want you to go. Matthew chapter 11 and come to verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Probably pretty familiar passage to our Bible scholars, listeners. Matthew 11. As soon as we start reading it, you'll remember it if you've heard the Bible much at all. But I would just ask you to do this. Just open your heart to be open and teachable. Open your mind and say, what do you want to show me today, Father? Because here's the truth. I wouldn't be going here if I'm going to put it my way, if there wasn't more meat on that bone. You know, I've been here so many times, I can't even remember. The pages, this particular page of my Bible looks like it's about worn completely out. But I know that there's still something right here, right there, for me today that is fresh and relative to my situation. And I'm not just going to hear and go, oh, yeah, I know, yeah. I'm going to listen for the Holy Spirit to tell me what he wants me to hear. So let's begin. I'm going to read it through Matthew 11, 28 through 30. From the New International Version first. Come to me, Jesus is talking, written in red. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You will find rest for your souls. Verse 34, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he says, he starts it out by saying, come to me, all you who are what? Weary and burdened, needing rest. Let me ask you something. Are you weary? You been burdened lately? See, well, I don't feel like I'm burdened, but I sure have been thinking a lot about this. That's burdened. You know, you may not be so burdened that you can't function. But let me ask you a question. Are you at rest? He said, Pastor, I ain't got time to rest. I got to wrap these presents. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to get ready for this. I got to do that. You can rest in the midst of activities. But I also do believe that we need to, not just between the time our head hits the pillow at night and the alarm clock rattles us up in the morning, but I think during the day what really is missing, especially at this time of the year, as crazy as it is, if there's any time of the year that we ought to say, time out, I'm going to a time out with Jesus, and I'm just going to take some time. Instead of doing this, that, and the other, I'm just going to take some time, and I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. Out of all the time of the year, you'd think this would be when we do it, but as a general rule, this is the time that we, God's people, we get busier than a bunch of bees. I mean, it just seems that way. And so Jesus says, are you weary? Are you burdened? Come to me. You know how you get weary and burdened? You don't come to him. Your time with him begins to get interrupted, either done away with. You say, well, Lord, you know, I got to go run. I got to run and do this. Go with me, Jesus. That's good. Take Jesus with you. But that's not the rest you're going to get if you take the time to actually come apart, set with him. I can't hardly even say that without thinking about the story, the account of Mary and Martha. So if you haven't seen it for a while, we're going to put our eyes on it. Let's look at it. It's in, and hold your place in Matthew because we're coming back. But Luke 10:38, Luke 10:38-42 is where it's located, 10:38 through 42 in the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It's just simple to understand. So in Luke 10:38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Whose home was it? It was hers. Let me ask you a question. When people come to your home, do you feel like that you have to, you know, meet them, greet them, cater to them here? Would you like something to drink? Would you like something to eat? Would you sit here? This is a nice chair. Oh, excuse me. I didn't know that was there. You know, you're all hovering. You're like a helicopter parent all of a sudden. So here's this woman. She welcomes who into her home? Who came? Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. She knows who Jesus is. This is not some woman who just like, hey, it's a woman. I don't know Jesus. This is a friend, a personal friend of Jesus. Her sister Mary's a personal friend. Her brother Lazarus is a personal friend. They know Jesus. They know him as the healer. They know about his ministry. They believe in who he is. And can you imagine if Jesus, the Messiah, comes to your house? Wow. Her name is Martha. She had a sister named Mary. And Mary sat down attentively before the master. She sat down attentively before the master, absorbing every revelation he shared. Your Bible might say Mary sat at Jesus' feet. That's a pretty simple way of saying it. It's the truth, but I like this. She sat down in what way? She wasn't just near Jesus, sitting there doing something else. I'll tell you something that just irks me. It really does, and I have to deal with it. It just irks me if we get our family together. Maybe yours don't do this. We've even tried to put a basket at the front door and say, when you walk in, drop your phone in there. And they just rebel. They just won't do it. I'm talking about my adult kids. I'm talking about, now, you know, if you got it out to take pictures, that's one thing. But if we're having a family gathering and everybody's sitting around the whole room and they've got their heads down and they go, we're playing a game together, it don't look like it. You know, you're over here on your phone, and you're over there on your phone. I'm like, what are y'all doing, texting each other? You know, you forget how to talk? No. That can happen, and so there's things there, but here, you could be sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's the point I'm trying to make. You can be there and not really be there. Martha was in the room, or in the house. Mary was in the house. But Martha's mind is everywhere but at the feet of Jesus. Mary is literally sitting at the feet of Jesus, but she's not just sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's attentively listening. I'm sure, don't you know that Martha, I picture Martha as the older sister. And I know how my daughters are, and the older one, you know. They can both, you know. But I can picture, the, you know, my older daughter was in the kitchen, and the younger one wasn't helping. I can imagine that the pot would be, you know. There'd be pots rattling, you know, they'd be like, you know, there'd be some of that. Martha's in the kitchen. Mary, I want to put it this way, is unwilling to be disturbed. You say, I don't have time to get along with the Lord. Yes, you do. You're going to have to take it. You're going to have to seize it. Go to the bathroom if you have to. I'm not kidding. Most people will leave you alone in there. Most people will. All else fails, go get in your car. I'm not talking about driving in your car. I'm talking about go get in your car, especially if the sun's shining. Go sit in the sunshine in your car. Get your Bible out. Read your Bible. If you can read and listen to worship at the same time, some people can, some can't. Whatever. Just set an atmosphere. Wherever you got to go. Jesus said it this way. He said, when you pray, go in your closet. Shut the door behind you. Your Father who hears you in secret will reward you openly. Well, he's talking about getting answers in prayer. But in the what I'm talking about here, yeah, I agree 100%, but you got to go into your closet, whether your closet is a car, office, a bathroom, a space, or this, that. Listen, you got a home church. More than likely, if you feel the need to, your pastor would be more than happy to let you come spend some time in the sanctuary alone. If that's what you need, if you're feeling so well pulled and burdened and whatever else, but I will say this though, you need to have your places. I started to say place, and the Lord reminded me you don't want to have a place because you need options. What if your place is your back porch, but then you say, well, I'm going to go spend time with the Lord on my back porch, and it's snowing that day, you know. You need to have a way to get away with the Lord and sit attentively at his feet, so to speak. Get in his presence and shut everything else and everyone else off. And if it means literally turning things off, then literally turn them off. You know, they'll if they need you now, they'll need you 30 minutes from now. It'll be okay. You know, pastor, you're not their God. God is their God. Sometimes pastors don't think they can turn their phones off. I do. I turn mine off sometimes. Not for very long at a time, but for a while. Mary sat down before the master, absorbing every revelation. But Martha, oh, Martha. The NIV says Martha was distracted. I like that. But listen to the Passion. But Martha became exasperated. See, I don't know what that means. Well, you might want to go look it up. Might mean more to you if you did. But I'll just put it in my own terms. She got ticked off. She got frustrated. She was fretting. She became exasperated. Became. Does that mean it happened in an instant? I don't get it. It means it started out like, okay, whatever. Little sister's going to set at the feet of Jesus. It's okay. I mean, she'll be in here in a minute, I'm sure. And then it wasn't. And then more she thought about it. It ain't right for me to have to do all this by myself. I mean, after all, I'm not the only person in this house that can wash these dishes. I'm not the only person in this house that can carry the plate. I mean, at least she could do is set the table while I'm fixing the potatoes, you know, whatever. She starts thinking, and then she starts looking at Mary just sitting over there. And Mary's just so absorbed in Jesus that she's oblivious. Does she not even realize that I'm in here doing this? I mean, of course she does. And she starts getting exasperated, frustrated, irritated, all those tated words, with her sister. And is she just frustrated with her sister? Maybe. Let's see how it works. Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So apparently Jesus was there early. The guests hadn't got there yet. Jesus came early. And he came to be with that family before everybody else got there. So apparently what was going on with Jesus was, he says, I'm going to go spend some quality time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And there's no mention of Lazarus here, so maybe he wasn't there. But he goes to their home, and he arrives before the guests are there. I'm thinking he came over early to visit with you and see you before all the busyness. Jesus made it a priority to have time to spend with you. Martha became exasperated by finishing numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. And so what did she do about it? She interrupted Jesus, the Passion says. She interrupted Jesus, and she said, Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all this work by myself? Don't you think it's unfair? And she said to him, listen to this. This is her talking to Jesus. You should tell her to get up and help me. You should tell her. Let me ask you a question, since we're laughing at Martha today. When's the last time you bossed Jesus around? Probably about the last time you prayed. I mean, do you pray? Do you go to the Lord in prayer telling him what you need done? Like, let me give you your to-do list today, Jesus. We need this person healed. We need this set free. These people need some more money. This needs this. These need this. Or do you go to be with the Lord and in the presence of the Lord? Yes, it is altogether appropriate to tell him about your needs. Jesus said, your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. And then he said, so ask. But don't just demand like your to-do list. Go set at his feet. You want rest. Giving him your to-do list is not going to give you rest. What will give you rest is you, yes, tell him the things that are on your heart, by all means. but spend some time listening to what's on his heart. What's on your heart today, Lord? Spend some time just honoring him and worshiping him and lifting him up. And I promise you this, your life will change. Your attitude will change. Things that you think are such a priority, they'll fade. They'll fade. You'll realize that's not all that big a deal. You know, if you focus on an anthill long enough, you will think you're looking at a mountain. So she's looked at this anthill, because that's really what it is. It's an inconvenience to her, but it ain't the end of the world. If she is smart, she would have went in there and sat down right next to Mary until Jesus told her and Mary, "Don't you think you girls ought to get ready for the guests?" Let me give you a hint about how the best way that we, I'm putting myself in here too, that we could go about having devotional time with the Lord. We feel his drawing, so we come. We stay until he tells us we ought to be doing something else. Well, we ain't got time for that. Do you honestly think that Jesus is so dumb he don't know what's on your schedule? I said that to me. He'll motivate you. I've had him motivate me. You need to stop and you need to do this. I've had him. I'm praying. I'm spending time worshiping, playing my guitar, singing to him. And he stopped me and say, "You need to do this." That's what we need. In order to have rest, we need to get in the flow of what his schedule is. Because our schedules, we'd make them too hectic. We take on more than we should. And we prioritize things that are not necessary. And we will relegate to the back things, the one thing that's most essential. And that's why we get in life, we do that over and over and over and over, putting the time with the Lord on the back burner. And what happens pretty soon is, man, our battery, our spiritual battery is like, like people trying to have really strong faith on the vaporous fumes of the word they received from the Lord, but they can't, it's so long ago they can't even remember when it was. And they're trying to have strong faith. Faith comes by hearing. If you hear a lot, you have a lot of faith. What do you mean hear a lot? Does that mean you got to go listen to preaching? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you hear from God a lot. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you hear God give you a word a lot, frequently, your faith's going to be a whole lot different than that person who rarely ever gives God the time to give them a word. That makes sense. Okay. So she goes in there. She gets so frustrated, she literally interrupts Jesus and bosses him around, tells him, "You need to tell my sister to get up and help me." I'm like, "Oh, girl, you didn't just go there." You know what'll do stuff like that to you? You know what'll make you act like that? Stress. Yesterday I was up in Yukon. Sharon and I finished up some Christmas shopping, this and that, and we had told some of the grandkids, whatever, that we'd like to take them up there and take them to a place they like to eat, to a McAllister's Deli. And we're up there, and we go into Kohl's, and we're in there, and, man, there were several people that walked by us with, I mean, you didn't have to ask, are these people stressed out? One of them, this guy's like, I mean, I don't know who said what, did what, whatever. He's in line. I thought he was going to blow up. He's like, "Whatever." You know, it's like, I'm like, dude, I'm watching him. You know, you got to watch people nowadays. Stress will make you act ugly. Martha was stressed out. She's worried about the guests. She's worried about, how would you want it to be if Jesus was coming to your house? I want everything to be perfect. Can I make a confession to you as a pastor? Let me tell you what your pastor is tempted to think about during church. I'll tell you, because I've been a pastor a long time. We have to fight this temptation. We're tempted to be concerned over, is it too loud? Is it too quiet? Is it hot in here? Are they cold? Is it too long? Is it too short? Is it this? Is it that? Oh, I wonder what they think. I mean, pastors have to fight these things and have to literally focus. I have to redirect my focus numerous times, almost every church service, off of the people. Pastors, God did something to us. It's like I'm in this place of worship with all these people who came to worship God, and we're supposed to be focusing completely on God, and I'm sitting there thinking about all of them. I want every song to minister directly to them. I want every word from the word to be the word that they need to hear. I want their lives to be completely transformed and changed. I want them to be healed, and I can't hardly get my mind off of them. But the best thing I can do for them, you say, well, I'm not a pastor. You might be a pastor of your family. You might be a pastor of your office. You might be someone who's that person who God has kind of, you know, put there. And your job, honestly, the best thing that you could do for anybody around you is you spend time soaking up the presence of God so that when things happen, you don't react out of your stress, but you react. You don't even react, actually. You respond out of the overflow of the peace and the grace and the anointing in your heart. I mean, you and I have to keep ourselves in a place where we're built up, because we don't ever know at what time when something or someone is going to demand a big pull out of us. And if you're already running on fumes and somebody pulls on you, you start coming unraveled. So, Jesus, you need to tell her to get up and help me. Okay. The Lord answered her. First of all, he says this, Martha, my beloved Martha. I can almost picture him only by patting her on the head. Why are you upset and troubled? And here's the word I really appreciate him using. Pulled away, distracted. Pulled away by these many distractions. Pulled away by these many distractions. If there's anything that the enemy loved to do to you today is to pull you away, distract you away from anything that, from the Lord that will feed you spiritually, whether it's your time with music, reading the Word. Do you ever notice how much, like, nobody will call you unless you start praying or reading the Bible or trying to worship, right? It happens. It just does. It's like, it's crazy. There are times Sharon and I will sit down in the morning. We sit down at our breakfast table. Our phones are right there. Maybe we're using them for, you know, part of our devotion, reading out of them or whatever. And, I mean, without fail, we sit down there and either mine or hers, either one, start going off. Like, shut the stupid thing off. We will. We will. We'll just turn it off. And it didn't go off 30 minutes ago, and after we get done praying, it ain't going off, but it's right during that time. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. Martha was pulled away by the distractions, and Jesus asked her this question in the Passion. He said, are they really that important? Is it really that important? If this meal, man, when everybody comes to my house, we host Thanksgiving, we host Christmas, we host all the important stuff. We host almost every birthday in my family because it's a house big enough that everybody can get into and whatever. And my kids are smart. We raise smart kids. They figure if we go to mom and dad's house, they got to clean up the mess. Now, they help, but you know what I'm saying. And I just sometimes I get overwhelmed even with just, you know, I want everything to be just right. Sharon does too. And it's like, really? Is it really that important? I want to ask this question. Is it important enough that it should disturb your peace? Because peace is valuable. Peace is so valuable. For you and I to be at peace, that when I'm at peace, man, there can be all kind of crazy stuff going around me. I'm good. And I don't react to the chaos. I respond. You know, and there's a big difference between reacting and responding. Responding is you get an appropriate thing. Reacting is just whatever happened to bubble up first, and that's not usually very pretty. See, I'm human too. Martha's like, you need to tell her what to do. Jesus said, listen, is it really that important? And then he said this in verse 42, Mary has discovered the one thing most important. The one thing. The one thing that I could do today, I got quite a bit on my agenda today, but the one thing that I could do today, more important than any other thing that I'm going to do, including church tonight, including getting hams for our Minister Alliance to give out to all these families, the thing that, more important than all that stuff, is that I make sure that I've had some time to soak in what God wants me to soak in the presence of Jesus, so that I can be the person he wants me to be, in the attitude that he wants me to have, be at peace, be at rest, not stressed out, but blessed out. Amen. So I want you thinking about that. Jesus said Mary chose the one thing that's most important, and then he said this, and it will not be taken away from her. In other words, Jesus said, you do whatever you think you need to do, but Mary's doing the right thing. So today we need to do the right thing. And one of the right things we're going to do is bring prayer requests before the Lord so that he can reach out by his power and touch people. So if you haven't got a prayer request to us and you need the Lord's intervention in your life, please send us your prayer request. We will pray for you and we will believe God for great results.